Rip, are you ready to? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As indicated, first of all, let me say that all of the materials for the groundfish report are behind tab number 3, and the primary one that I will get to is number 2, which is the Georges Bank cod hook sector operations plan. The committee has not met since we did our final work on framework 42. We are having a brief hiatus in our ongoing groundfish work. As indicated on in the binder, the biennial adjustment of Framework 42 has been submitted. I would ask the regional administrator if there's any update on when we might be seeing the publication of the proposed rules and whether there's any forecasted date that they might be implemented.
Well, that's the same crystal ball from this morning.
Of course, we're still waiting for the proposed rule. It's still under review. I'm hoping, anyway, we'll have a proposed rule in the next week or two.
Thank you. The next item was the NIMS emergency rule. Gene Martin went over the status of that in his comments yesterday. And obviously we know that rule is being challenged. The item E, which was the future groundfish actions, Paul took care of that in his comments yesterday, and then, of course, we had an additional session yesterday afternoon to cover that. So the main item that we need to discuss here today has to do with the Georges Bank cod hook sector operations plan and their request. And first of all, I want to make sure that it's understood that the Groundfish Committee itself has not met and discussed this issue. I am bringing it forward for the Council's consideration here today. So there's no committee motion, there's no committee decision on it. The hook sector, just to give you some background, has submitted their operations plan, and in it were several requests. Let me jump back a couple of years and give you some background. And fishing year 2004, the sector received an allocation of Georges Bank cod of 373 metric tons, and NIMS approved their ops plan without consultation. I think the indications, and my colleague to my left will poke me in the ribs if I get something incorrect here, approximately 32% of the allocation was caught. Fishing year 2005, the sector received an allocation of 455 metric tons of Georges Bank cod. NIMS approved the ops plan without consultation with the council, and approximately 32% of the allocation was caught. For fishing year 2006, the sector received an allocation of 615 metric tons of Georges Bank cod. The initial ops plan did not include the requests for exemptions, but since Framework 42 approval had been Framework 42 approval had been delayed. After Framework 42 was approved by the Council, then the sector resubmitted a revised ops plan with three exception requests. One from the vessel baseline restrictions applied to days at sea leasing program. One exception from the differential days at sea counting. And one from the 72-hour observer notification requirement when fishing in the western U.S.-Canada area. NOAA Fisheries approved the ops plan with the exception for the differential days at sea counting and the vessel baseline restrictions applied to the days at sea leasing, and referred these two requests to the council for comment and recommendation. There were two letters concerning this that were in the emailed communications that you got. Unfortunately, we did not get copies of them into the binder. I'd like to blame that on someone, but since I don't have a staff person here, it's probably my fault. The sector has requested these two exemptions for the following reasons. The differential days at sea exemption. First, the differential days at sea are primarily designed to reduce mortality on Gulf of Maine cod and Cape Cod, Gulf of Maine yellowtail flounder. While there is some benefit to other species, the sector does not fish on Gulf of Maine cod and catches very few yellowtail. The sector has a hard tack on cod, and in 2006, and I believe that this, in my reading of it, was a new addition to the ops plan, has monthly quotas. Staff looked at the information and has concurred that they land very little yellowtail or winter flounder. Staff was concerned about any precedent setting, as there is another sector already, and more may be coming. The provisions of Amendment 13 that allow exemptions from effort controls were adopted on the assumption that sectors would be limited by hard tacks on all species, establishing hard tacks on all species landed would resolve a lot of concern. Concerning the days at sea leasing vessel size restriction, the current regulations prohibit the sector vessels from leasing any days from the common pool. Now, I should say the current regulations are their operations plan. The operations plan included an exemption on size restriction for days at sea leasing, since they already were restricted to only sector vessels. Since there are a limited number of vessels in the sector and a small pool of days at sea, allowing this would not have a major conservation impact. Also, the sector fishes, again, under a hard tack for Georges Bank cod. Staff has done some analysis on this, and the data failed to show a strong correlation between vessel size and average hooks fished per set, total number of hooks fished, and catch per day absent. There was, however, a positive correlation was observed between total catch per trip and days absent, as well as total annual catch and total annual days absent. Days absent per trip and total annual days absent was positively correlated with vessel length and gross tons, not vessel horsepower. So that is the issue that we need to give some recommendation back to NOAA Fisheries on. In order to have something on the table that we can discuss, Mr. Chairman, I would like to put a motion on the floor. And I move that the council recommend approval of the requested exemptions for the Georges Bank cod hook sector for the fishing year 2006 only, with the intent that for the fishing year 2007, the Georges Bank cod hook sector will have hard tacks for all species landed based on landings for fishing years 2001 through 2005, which will be approved by the council as part of the 2007 operations plan submission process.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second to the motion? Second. Okay, seconded by Jim. Second. Okay. I have a little bit of background here, too, just a little bit of fairness. I believe it was at the January council meeting that John did bring up the fact that they would be applying for these, and the council at the time, well, he didn't mention all of them. He mentioned the exemption from the days at sea, I believe. And there was some concern that they were trying to do this kind of sneakily after the council meeting in between. I don't think there was any intent of that. I can't speak for John, but I do know it was brought up at that time, and the council had no opinion or chose not to discuss it at that time. So it was something that we were informed of, and I think it was the Portland meeting. So. Okay. Is the motion correct?
Yeah, one just a small editorial change as part of the would it be approved by the council as part of the 2007 annual ops plan submission process.
Okay, discussion on the motion. John?
Well, having got the letter, Mr. Chairman, and having listened to Rip. I guess there is some type of time sensitivity here for the hook sector to get some type of okay. But I quite frankly would have preferred this go through the committee and have the committee have had the time to really review it and take a look at it, and I really think that should be the process that we use rather than having the council act as a committee. Now, I recognize time-sensitive issues sometimes require us to do that, but I just wanted to state that I'm much more comfortable because, quite frankly, I hadn't gone through this, and I didn't realize it was a sensitive issue as far as timing. So I'm not really prepared to provide much input on it one way or another. And I think in the future we ought to make sure that these types of requests are received, number one, in a timely fashion, and then, number two, go through the committee process to make sure that we've had adequate review of them. Thank you.
Okay. Further discussion on the motion? Gene?
Question of clarification on the intent of the motion. If I read this correctly, this is to say if the council recommends these exemptions, it does so with the intent that the sector establish hard tax for all the other species. Right. I mean, what if the sector doesn't do that? I mean, this is just a suggestion to them. I mean, the council doesn't have control necessarily over what is in the operations plan per se. I'm just wondering how this plays out.
Paul?
I think Gene has a good question. We approve the sector based on one way of the sector managing cod quota and days it's in effort controls combined. That's the sector we approved. Now, this may be envisioned as a different sector that's now a different way of looking at it. So I think you got a good point there, Gene. This is now using quota as opposed to, which is the original way the PDT had thought about it. But is the council now saying, this is how we want the sector to run, as opposed to just commenting on an ops plan? So that's a good question.
Okay. Dave Gaethel? Oh, Rip, did you? Okay. Dave?
I actually have a question, and that was, what was the qualifying period for determining the cod tag for the sector? What years?
John? What was the qualifying period? What was the qualifying period to establish the TAC, the quota in Amendment 13? What was the period of time?
Georgia's bank cod was 96 to 01, and then it said for all other species would be the most recent 5 years.
Okay.
I mean, Well, I got a lot of problems here. I may as well be right up front about it. I got a whole bunch. My first one is that the qualifying criteria should be the same period, because basically there's been, you know, unlimited access for under this new plan to some of these species, so there's going to be a much higher landing level associated with that, or potentially one. We won't know because we won't have any analysis here today to find out what the landing levels actually would be for setting these high TACs on all these other species. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is the whole issue of days at sea leasing, and problem number three is the other issue that was raised here about exemption from the differential counting when we're using that as a primary effort control for this coming year. So based on those three concerns, unless I can get some adequate assurances that something bad isn't going to happen out of this, I could not support this motion.
Paul? David, in terms of the 2001 to 2005 for the other tax, that's in Amendment 13. That's what the council approved. They approved for cod, the 96 to 01, and they approved tax for all other species based on the last 5 years. So that's something that the council's already approved.
Okay. Well, that alleviates one concern, even though I personally don't agree with it. But the other two still remain, and this doesn't address them one bit.
Okay. Further discussion? Rip?
I just wanted to make a comment on Gene's question and also make an additional comment. But first of all, this issue would normally be something that the council would not get involved in. You know, the operations plan is approved by NOAA Fisheries. This has been returned to us for our comments and recommendations. This is not necessarily what would get included. The council is going back and recommending to NOAA Fisheries that this be approved. There may be other aspects of that which somehow I'm missing, or we're all missing, that may mean that can't be done exactly this way. So this is just is a recommendation. It's not like we are making these changes here. And you know, we were asked to comment on it, and so that's the position that I feel we're in.
Dave.
I've got a question about consistency, specifically, if I recall correctly, and I think I do, for the other sector, the gillnet sector, we don't require part TACs for all species. We had prolonged debate about that, I recall, differences of opinion, and that sector, if all goes as planned by this council, will not have part TACs. Yet if we pass this motion, this sector will have part TACs. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. What's the logic for this motion in having hard TACs as described on the screen, yet it wouldn't happen for the gillnet sector?
I can't speak for anybody. I think that what's up on the screen was the intent of Amendment 13. I'm not sure if the gillnet sector is or not, but this was the intent of when we established sectors under Amendment 13. So this is bringing the sector into what they thought they had or wanted, 4 years ago? Three. And somebody else may be able to articulate better than I just did.
Well, if this was the intent of Amendment 13 as it pertains to the hook sector, then why didn't we, when considering and deciding to approve the gillnet sector, do the same thing? I'm lost with the inconsistency here. The logic is escaping me.
I think we'd have to rip.
Yeah, I think you're, Mr. Chairman, you're correct in saying that the provisions of Amendment 13 that allow the exemptions from effort controls were allowed or adopted on the assumption that sectors would be limited by hard tax on all species that they caught. You know, I wasn't here during that determination, you know, as to why this sector ended up without it. But that certainly was the intent of Amendment 13.
Gene?
Well, I don't remember that was explicitly intended in Amendment 13. In fact, with the first year's operation plan, one of the agencies concerned was that other species that might be caught in the hook sector fishery needed to be accounted for. And that was one reason the hook sector decided to stay under a Days at Sea program, because that program was designed to limit the amount of other species caught in addition to cod. And that was the way that they assured us that they would not be over-harvesting other species that are bycatch in the hook sector fishery. And I know there was questions raised about whether there should be hard TACs for sectors, but my recollection was that there was never any definitive conclusion that Amendment 13 intended that. I mean, there was some ambiguity about how that could be handled, but I don't think there was ever any conclusion that was the actual intent. And that's why I'm wondering if this is, as Rip further explained it, if this is just a recommendation on the part of the council, that is the part that refers to hard TACs for other species, a recommendation to the hook sector and to the agents, to NOAA Fisheries, that for the 2007 operations plan, the hook sector should consider hard tacks to be included in its operation plan as sort of a contingency for recommending these exemptions this year. I don't know if that's the intent of it or not, but this council, as people have said, this council cannot dictate what goes in the operations plan per se. There are certain things that can't be exempted in the regulation, but everything else can be. And the agency is concerned about the status of these other fisheries, and when it reviews the operations plan in order to be assured that the other species are not being over-harvested.
Thank you, Gene. Rip? Oh, excuse me, Jim was first. Jim.
I have a question and then a comment, and a question, I guess, I don't know who, probably threw the chair to John, because I don't know the answer. It's my understanding that the percentage of the TAC, TAC, will be recalculated in 2007. Is that correct? In other words, the 96 through 2001 doesn't run in forever. It ends, and then you have to recalculate in 2007.
Yeah, there's language in the regs that says that starting in 2007, I think that you used the previous 5 years, right?
Okay, that was my question. My comment is that, and this pertains to the differential counting of days. These guys do fish on George's Bank cod, and there is no differential counting of days at sea in George's Bank. The only reason there's differential counting of days at sea in the area that these guys fish in is because of yellowtail flounder. These guys don't catch any yellowtail flounder on their hooks. So I don't think that this is an extreme exception to allow these guys to continue to fish at a 1-to-1 ratio. It's in fact, it's extreme to put them under 1.3-to-1 when they don't impact yellowtails. Okay. Rip?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was thinking that, again, a slight tweaking of the way the motion is written might help with some of Gene's concerns and some of the overall concerns. Right now it says that the council recommend approval. Well, I think it should be that the council recommend to NOAA Fisheries approval of the requested exemptions.
Fine with Jim? You fine with that, Jim? Okay. Paul?
At one meeting, the council voted that the hook sector would not get any history for landings of haddock in the SAP. I would imagine that this would trump that. This is a later thing, so that if this gets approved, they would get history for the haddock they caught in the SAP enclosed area one, because this is a subsequent motion. I want to be clear if we're going to, you know, vote on this.
Okay. Doug?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Statement and then a comment, question to Rip for clarification. I like the thought of the hook sector having hard tax and all the species landed, but I'm a little confused, Rip, if I can address you. You were saying that is it a recommendation to NIMS that they set the hard tack, or is it a is this the hard tack going to be set by the sector?
I may turn over that question to somebody from the sector, but I believe that if you read their operations plan, it lays out how you know those negotiations go on. But John, if you could clarify it better than I can.
Looking through the regs here, but that's already been established. That's something that NIMS tells you, the applicant, what your historical catch was during the period. It's not something that the sector says this is what we get. That's NIMS. I think they use dealer records, dealer database to determine that.
If I can continue, is that for all species or other than the target species that you identified in your original sector proposal?
That's the process for any species, regardless of whether it's target or a bycatch species.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The motion speaks to one of the exemptions, but it requests approval of both of the exemptions without speaking to the second, which is the proposal to be exemption from the regulations that limit leasing between vessels of similar size. And I think the motion either ought to be changed to reflect that we're recommend approval of the one exemption, or we should speak to the other exemption as well and make that explicit in the motion. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm somewhat confused and concerned with Paul Howard's description that this would override our previous policy of SAPs and B-days building history to be used in future quota allocations. If this does do that, then I'd have to withdraw my second, because I think that was a fairness issue from the very beginning, and some people have an access to an SAP and other people not, and B-days or what have we you. So that's, I think, has to stay in. So either we fix this motion to reflect that the previous position we've had that SAPs don't build future history for allocation stays in place, then I'd have to withdraw my second.
Okay. Rip, what's the intent?
No, it was not the intent. It was not the intent to.
To do which one?
To have history in the SAPs be counted. That was not the intent of that. So I don't know if there's some way of doing it, and just quickly off the top of my head, having it, you know, be A days at sea to establish the history, or whether we just put the intent down there and let the hook sector and NOAA fisheries.
I would imagine if they can't use the landings from the SAP, the hard tack on haddock is going to be almost nothing, and they're going to be shut out of the fishery probably within the first 2 weeks of the approval of this. John?
Well, I'm not aware of any. What policy have we made on how we are going to use history generated on B-days, SAPs? You've got steaming credit bonuses. You've got large mesh gill net bonuses where individuals got extra days at sea to go out and catch more fish if they would use a larger gill net. We had a program where people that put a VMS unit on it voluntarily got extra days at sea. Should that history count? I mean, we can go on, and I'm not debating one way or the other, other than that I don't think we have a policy on that issue. My read on this motion is that it says approval of the requested exemptions for the 2006 fishing year only. And the second part, I think, feeds into a lot of the criticisms that the council has received about approving sector allocations on single species. Most detractors have said that it should be based on all species, and that having, as Paul Howard has said many times, having a hybrid sets up some levels of confusion that the council hasn't dealt with. So,
Paul.
Just a couple things. The only policy we have is one council motion that was approved that said the landings associated with the SAP on Haddock in closed area 1 will not be counted towards history. That's the only motion. And as you recall, there was a bunch of debate. What do you do with B days? What do you do with the other SAPs? And the council was silent. So there's one motion, and I think this would trump it. The second thing I want to say is I'm concerned that the TAC will be based on landings. Isn't TAC based on catch, meaning landings plus discards? Because discards count towards mortality. So I think the council ought to think about, again, under our history and our TAC discussions, when you allocate fish, you're really talking about mortality. So we should be talking about catch, landings plus discards. So landings, you might want to say total catch there. And the last thing, if there is a low tack of, say, pollock, and you reach that low tack of pollock, that means you're shut out.
Okay, Pat?
Well, first just a comment to try to clarify something, and then a more general comment on the motion. The regulations right now read that the landing histories for sectors formed to harvest Georgia Bank cod during the period 2004 through 2007 shall be based on fishing years 1996 through 2001. So it is specific to which years will be used through 2007. But the more general comment is I really think the council is trying to set sector policy on the fly here, and I think it's inappropriate. You should be commenting on the two exemptions which are unrelated to what happens in 2007. And I really think you need to separate these two questions out, deal with the sector question with the sector between now and 2007 when they do their operations plan. But for the time being, it's fairly straightforward. They've asked for two exemptions. One of them has to do with the differential days at sea. As Jimmy pointed out, that's designed to, for the most part, to protect yellowtail. They don't catch yellowtail. And the leases are only allowed within the sector. So it's not the same issue as waiving the size restriction outside of the sector. I strongly encourage you to just go back to looking at those two specific issues and not try to deal with sector policy, longer-term sector policy.
John? Pat? Tom?
Thank you. Pat made my point.
Okay. Rip?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to amend the motion in the first sentence where the exemptions for the Georges Bank cod hook sector for the fishing year 2006 only, period, and eliminate everything after that.
Is there a second? It's a friendly amendment, then, if we can. Okay, so it's not an amendment. It's perfected motion. Motion was perfected. Okay, further discussion. John?
So let's assume this passes and the exemptions are granted. NOAA Fisheries decides to grant the exemptions, then the sector would have to come back to the council again next year and request the same exemptions again, right? Assuming nothing else changes in any of the well, I guess the operations plan only is good for 1 year anyways, and you have to resubmit it.
3 months prior to.
Right. Yeah, I was just going to say, just you put these in your operations plan, you have provide enough opportunity for the council. I think part of the problem this year, it was done. The approval process was out of sync with the council consultation. And it can all be reconsidered for the next fishing year.
Okay. Further discussion on the motion. Anybody in the audience? I think it's Maggie. Maggie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine. I have a couple of questions. I don't have the request from the hook sector in front of me, so I'm wondering on the differential days at sea, is this a request for exemption from the emergency rule differential days at sea counting or the Framework 42 differential days at sea counting or both?
Both.
Both. And the justification that I've heard in some of the discussion is because these differential days at sea counting provisions are primarily designed to protect yellowtail, and the hook sector doesn't catch yellowtail. Is that correct? That's
correct.
The justification that you would provide to NOAA Fisheries. I think this is, you know, an argument that several people made in the discussions of Framework 42, and certainly the argument that Associated Fisheries Maine made on our comments on the emergency rule is that we don't catch yellowtail either, and we are certainly severely impacted by the existing emergency rule. And so I just, you know, it's where do we get our relief from that? Are those comments were rejected by the service, and, you know, in their response, they said, well, you know, you still have to have the differential days at sea whether you catch yellowtail or not. So where did the other people who don't catch yellowtail get their relief from this differential counting as well? Because we definitely need it, and I'd like to know how we can get it if we can.
Pat?
I think the primary difference, and probably we should have finished that portion of the sentence, was that that the other species of concern that is caught by the hooked sector is caught, and it's controlled by a hard tack. So there is a control for the other species.
Well, I would urge you on a sense of fairness to vote against this motion. Thank you.
Anybody else in the audience? Jeff?
Thank you. My name is Jeff Pike. I'm here today on behalf of the Georges Bank Cod Hook Sector, and I urge you to support the motion. I just wanted to make a statement that the sector members are sympathetic to other ports and other fishermen that also don't catch stocks for which the differential days at sea measures were imposed, and we would work and support efforts for them to seek relief on that. But unlike the hook sector, they don't yet have a legal effective mechanism to deal with the issue. I think it's important to point out that if the council approves the exemptions and NOAA Fisheries agrees with that, that the operations plan would be amended and impose trip limits on our vessels that are equal to or less than that's considered in Framework 42. I would also just like to say that whether we want to admit it or not, sector vessels, and any sector vessel, but for the hook sector, we're already treated differently. We can only use hooks. We can only fish in Georges Bank stock area. We can't go to the Gulf of Maine. We can't lease days at sea from non-sector vessels. And I think, as you've heard from RIP, the amount of gear that our vessels can set really doesn't matter if it's a 34 or 40-foot vessel, frankly. We're not talking about leasing days from a 40-foot dragger to a 90-foot dragger. So we have a limited pool of fish, and we have a limited pool of days. We can move our fish around, but we can't move our days around. Approval of this exemption would allow us to do that. We also have strict reporting requirements that other vessels don't, and we fish under a hard tack for cod. And if we ever reach that tack, which we've only harvested an average of 33% of, we must stop fishing altogether with any type of gear that could conceivably catch regulated species. So I hope that you would approve this motion, and I just leave you with the fact that we are sympathetic to other ports and fishermen and pledge to work with them. And also I can tell you that next year we will, regardless of what the motion says, we will be proceeding with requests to the council for an allocation of all species. So hopefully a lot of these questions will be resolved then, and we can all move forward. Thank you.
Vito. Vito Gigoloni, Norte Seafood Coalition. Apparently we missed the open mic period there. This was something that I wanted to bring up then, but it's definitely pertinent to this issue, and it's relative to Cape Cod Yellowtail. We believe that there have been some technical errors or omissions or oversights in the treatment of Cape Cod Yellowtail in the Framework 42 process that resulted in a good portion of the differential counting in the area, as well as in the emergency rule. And I just want to kind of list the three and get it on the record and hope that people would at least want to take a look at it. The projected F for 2005 was assumed to be equal to F 2004 on Cape Cod Yellowtail. And then the document goes on to say that they recognized that that was a calendar year to fishing year conversion, and when it was done, the actual F 2005 was, instead of 0.75, was 0.47. There was no correction in the TAC for 2006 as a result of that revelation. It remained at 650. We believe that the TAC would actually have been around 730 to 750. Second problem appears to be the projected catch 2005 was projected to be 865 metric tons, which is 65 metric tons higher than 2004. We watched the preliminary landing statistics fairly closely, and it appeared that there was an overlap that May was superimposed with another month, and I think that the PDT used the trajectory based on the first 3 months of the fishing year and come up with a much higher catch. The actual catch, looking at the preliminary landing statistics, even if the discard ratio went up another 3%, we're still looking at catch 04 being very similar to catch 05, almost to the pound. Again, that would bring the TAC closer to what total catch was in 04 and 05. And then the third, possibly the most profound mistake, we believe, or oversight that happened in Framework 42 in Cape Cod Yellowtail, is that the closed area model uses catch per unit of effort based on a four-year period. And the four-year period is 2001 to 2004 to understand how much catch is going to occur. And that did not capture the Amendment 13 management measures. The Amendment 13 management measures produced one-third the catch of the CPUE period that was used in the closed area model, which may explain why, no matter what we did, we couldn't come up with a management measure to work in the closed area model. It was assuming that we were landing three times the catch than we really were. So the reason why I think this is pertinent right now is everyone's talking about why we should be escaping regulation from Cape Cod Yellowtail, and we agree with that. And then in addition, we'd like to add to that that people that have been fishing on Cape Cod Yellowtail basically had a biological situation that wasn't a reality that they had to deal with. So I think that we've got a pretty dramatic situation in Cape Cod Yellowtail, where if the correct numbers were adjusted and the correct CPUE was used, I want to point out Cape Cod Yellowtail is the only stock in Amendment 13 that received a stock-specific and very drastic trip limit
All other stocks either had an increasing trip limit or no trip limit placed on them. So when you have a catch per unit of effort period used that is totally remote and misses the management measures, this is why we came up with what we came up with. So I think we've got a bigger problem than just getting an exemption from 1.4 to 1. I think we've got a major problem in the assumptions that went into what really needed to be done in Cape Cod Yellowtail. So I just want to explain, it looks like a zero reduction in catch is needed in 2006. We have an 8% default. We also have some differential counting. We have very strict measures in June that just is being completed now at a 250-pound trip limit, which is the biggest catch month on Cape Cod Yellowtail. So I just wanted everyone to understand. I think it's worth taking a look at. This may help a lot of these exemption problems.
Thank you, Vito. Anybody else in the audience? Vito?
It works. Not that I need it. Vito Calmo, a past counselor and a past committee member. I thought I heard quite clear what John Nelson said in the beginning. How come this did not go to committee? It looks like you're circumnavigating the system somewhat. I really don't have a bone to pick in this deal, but I feel that you needed to go through the committee and you had some public comment while it went through committee. It seems like this is a rush job for an end around. I know we just gave him an award, which is nice, but I think you need to go through the process that most counselors understand, and so the public has been educated with. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vito. Anybody else? Okay, back to the council. Jim?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have two questions. One perhaps the chair can answer, and the other I'd like to do through the chair to John. Is there a time constraint that would prevent this question from being returned to the committee and then having a comprehensive proposed motion from the committee to the council?
Well, the time constraint is now that the committee couldn't meet for at least 23 days after here, I mean after today and then beyond. But the other problem is that we agreed last November that groundfish wouldn't be a priority and we weren't going to be meeting for this year. So it's not in our priorities for the groundfish committee to meet. So there's a catch-22 there.
Second question, if I may, through the chair to John. There hasn't been much discussion other than Pat's comments about the leasing exemption with vessels within the sector. And on the face of it, it doesn't sound like a problem, but I can see that if you have half of the sector has large boats and half small boats and you lease all the small boats to the large boats, it may have quite a difference in the operational areas that might be fished or other unforeseen consequences. And I don't know enough about the sector to know what those circumstances might be. Could, if the chair permits, could you give us a comment about what kind of implications there might be? What is the situation and what are they looking to do?
And, I'll ask the question. If you're, never mind. John?
I mean, this motion calls for approval of both exemptions, so I think it's relevant on that ground.
John?
The operational area has already been defined. It's been the same area since the inception of the sector, which is the Georges Bank Cod stock area. The sector has been operating, or vessels in the sector have been operating throughout the range of the area. The ability to take days from what you would call a small vessel to what you would probably still call, and move them to what you would still call a small vessel, right, a 34-foot boat to a 40-foot boat, logically you would think that that would create an advantage that the sector would enjoy. And the answer to that question or that concern is that currently we have 34-foot boats fishing the northern edge with 100 to 150 gallons of fuel on the deck. Now, I call that crazy, but that's what people are doing. And we also have vessels in the sector that are days poor, but that are larger. And these individuals that are running these smaller vessels would rather obviously fish out there in a larger platform, something with a little more fuel capacity, a little more deck space. And it's all in the name of catching cod and haddock. You know, shouldn't be any surprise there. That's what the sector has been targeting since its inception. It's struggling to catch codfish, but I think that has more to do with availability at this time than anything else. I'm also aware that the staff for the council did an analysis on composition catch of species and quantities of catch of species based on vessel length and horsepower, and there's no difference in terms of what one would expect someone on a 30 or 34-foot longliner to catch versus a 40-foot longliner. Has that answered your question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I take that to mean that the range of vessels is from somewhere in 30-odd feet to 40-odd feet, and there isn't that much different. There aren't vessels that are significantly different from that range?
Right. And another thing to add to this is that the leasing, I think it was brought up, is contained to the sector itself. It's 39 vessels now, 37 vessels now. So the leasing would stay within that pool of vessels. We wouldn't be bringing days into the sector from elsewhere, or days wouldn't be leaving the sector.
Okay. Anybody else in the council? Dave?
Yeah. This is a very difficult thing, because by being against something like this, you appear to be against the sector, and I'm not. But I still have problems here. I mean, if this goes into effect, based on what we heard earlier, catch history is still being established for possible inclusion later on. And basically, one group of people is getting to operate in a manner that nobody else gets to operate in, to establish catch history. No matter how you slice it, that's what's happening. The second issue is, based on the information, again, we've heard today, is that the sector is under-harvesting based on its current plan. It has not harvested its cod tack. I would submit that a lot of that is based on some of the size of some of the vessels. And if by offering relief here and moving that effort to the vessels that are the larger ones that have the most chance of staying out in the most adverse conditions, we're going to increase the catch rate. Now, I realize it's constrained at the top end, but we're still increasing the catch rate on a stock that we've said we don't want to increase the catch rate on. So I don't think enough thought's gone into this myself. I tend to agree with John that it should have gone to committee. I realize we can't go to committee. But there's a whole host of issues here. And we're going to be sending a signal, if we vote for this, to everybody else in the fishing world that there is differential treatment, never mind differential counting. And, you know, as an example, I'm stuck in the exact same position the people in John's sector are in. I'm a small boat. Most of my area has been taken away. I can't find a boat to lease from. I can't find a boat to buy a permit from. And I'd like some relief, too. But I don't think it's right for me or anybody else to come here and ask for that relief. Either we're all in the same boat or none of us are in the boat. Not some of us. And so I hope you all consider those ramifications when you decide whether or not to vote for or against this recommendation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll call a question. Just one thing, Dave, on the first thing you said, increasing, you said effort or the F rate on those stocks. Both of the stocks that they would be increasing the effort on, one is under a hard tack, and it's overfished, but overfishing is not occurring. And the other stock is not overfished, and overfishing is not occurring.
So in both instances, they're within where we are for Amendment 13 on rebuilding and everything on the two stocks.
Right. I was referring specifically to cod, not to haddock. But
well, no, the codfish is – overfishing is not occurring, according to the last information we got, and they're under a hard tack for their sector, which they're under on anyway.
Right, and I said that, but what I said is that the catch will still increase. I mean, you've only harvesting about, I think it's 37% of the hard TAC. I can't imagine that number is not going up if you vote for this recommendation, which is an increase in the actual mortality on codfish.
Okay, ready for the question? The motion as perfected. All those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Opposed? Abstentions? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 abstentions. Motion carries. Rip, any else on the groundfish?
Just one additional item, Mr. Chairman. Seeing that Vito had some good questions, and I know that they were put on the record, I would like to request that he, submit those issues, written issues. And I know that at least to some of it, in my discussions with Tom, that there are some answers to that, but what I would like to do is to then, without objection, request it, Tom or staff just work on answering some of those questions for them so we can get them resolved.
Pat?
Anything else?
Okay. Vito, did you catch that? Okay.
Sorry. I had just one announcement under groundfish. We did file today an action to require a haddock separator trawl in the eastern portion of the U.S.-Canada area. Cod discards have been very high in that area, cod catch and discards. And so the trawl vessels fishing under a day at sea will now be required to have the haddock separator trawl. Filed today, will publish on June 19th, and will be effective on publication. So I want to let folks know. We're over 30% of the TAC already in that area.
Okay. Questions for Pat? Okay. Another item under groundfish. Rip, are you done?
Completed. Thank you.
Okay. I received a letter from the Division of Marine Fisheries requesting a meeting to go over the closed area model. Actually, it's from Paul Diodati. And he's asking to meet with the PDT, which I can't, I don't know if I can approve, but at the bottom it says at the very least to have a meeting. I'll read the request that they want. The issues that we have thought about and would like to discuss with the PDT include the closed area model documentation, the adequacy of the model, and how the data fit the model, and simple, more direct approaches available to the guide management decisions. And then it says, since PDT members have busy schedules, time-sensitive assignments, and diverse group of organization, I understand and appreciate the limits, and I'm paraphrasing here a little bit. In that regard, participation solely of the PD chair would be considerably enhance our discussions. We will talk with Tom. I'm going to forward this to Tom. And see if Tom is the appropriate person and if he can do this on his own. And if he is, if Tom's comfortable, we'll see what we can do. And that's any discussion on that, or if David wants to go into any further detail on that. But, Dave?
Yeah, I distributed the letter from Paul Diodati regarding the closed area model, and let me say from the get-go that this is not related to the lawsuit. This is related to Paul and my involvement with this council and with our attempt to better understand one of the more important aspects of groundfish management, notably the technical basis for much of what we do relative to the sorts of measures that are required for us to achieve certain levels of fishing mortality. Paul and I have been struggling, and me in particular, I've been struggling with the closed area model, working with Steve Correa even, to try to understand all the ins and the outs of that model. And after, many hours of discussion with Steve, I still find myself unable to truly appreciate how it works. And there are some individuals with whom I'm associated that have some suggestions for improving the closed area model, not tearing it down, but improving it. So we thought that this would be a wise step on our part. The closed area model, or models like it, will continue to be very important for this council as we move forward with additional measures to manage the ground fish fishery, certainly 2008-2009. So the earlier we begin this initiative to have some productive discussion on the closed area model with Tom specifically or with other plan development team members if they care to be involved, the better off we'll all be. And the more comfortable I'll be in dealing with my own needs relative to understanding the closed area model and its implications and, of course, my being able to deal with the many other individuals who keep asking me questions and I haven't got the answers. So that's the intent for this particular request, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Dan. I apologize for reading parts of that letter because I didn't realize everybody had it. So, okay, with that, Paul and I will talk to Tom and we'll see what we can do. Okay, I think that's it on the ground fish. Well. We have the presentation. New Zealand, we need a little time to set up. Why don't we take a 10-minute break?
Things that you'll see here.